Good morning. We will bring the July 20th, 2022 Board of Directors meeting of the Eastern Municipal Water District to order. We will start off with our Pledge of Allegiance. Director Armstrong, would you like to lead the group in the Pledge of Allegiance this morning?
Sure. Ready to begin?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I ask the Secretary to do a roll call of the Board and Legal Counsel, please?
Yes. Director Armstrong?
Here.
Director Record?
Here.
Director Pauly is here, and Director Corona is absent. Legal Counsel, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Thank you.
My understanding is Director Slauson may be joining us later in the meeting.
Yes.
Could I get the Board Secretary to give the rules and procedures for those that wish to participate virtually today at our meeting?
Absolutely. To avoid creating acoustic feedback, please mute all your devices during the meeting unless you are speaking. Before speaking, please unmute your device and turn down the volume of any other devices that are near you and tuned into the meeting. If you have joined by phone and would like to comment on an item, please press star 9 to let our staff know and wait to be notified. When it is your turn to speak, you will hear a notification asking you to unmute your phone by pressing star 6. If you have joined by computer, you may use the chat feature in Zoom to indicate your desire to speak. When done speaking, please mute your device again. Please participate from a quiet environment so that the Board can hear you when you are speaking. Thank you.
Thank you very much. April, do we have anybody who has filled out a public comment card this morning?
No, we do not.
Very good. With that, we will go to item 2 on our agenda this morning, which is a number of public hearings, 5 to be exact. So we will go ahead at this time, and this is the time and place set for a duly noticed public hearing regarding the adoption of a report for Eastern Municipal Water District 2019 to 2021 public health goals. I declare this public hearing open and will ask for a staff report on this proposed item. Good morning.
Can you hear me? Is that good?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, good morning. My name is Michelle Karras, and I will be presenting the public health goal report. Public health goals are set by the Office of Health Hazard Assessment, or OEHA for short, a department within Cal EPA. A public health goal is the level of contaminant in drinking water that does not pose a significant risk and based solely on public health considerations. They are non-enforceable, and where a public health goal does not exist, an EPA maximum contaminant level goal, or MCLG, is used. MCLGs are the max level contaminant at which there is no known health effect. The public health goal report is required every 3 years, and only public health goals or MCLGs with an enforceable MCL are reported. The report addresses any public health goal exceedances at the point of entry into the distribution system, the health risk category, the numerical risks, the best available technology, and cost for treatment. There's no action required for any reported detections above public health goals. This table summarizes the report and lists the constituents detected above an applicable public health goal or MCLG with the associated health risk, numerical risk at both the public health goal and MCL, and the best available technology for treatment. A public hearing is required to accept and respond to public comment and to approve the report. EMWD complies with all health-based drinking water standards and MCLs as required by the California Division of Drinking Water and the U.S. EPA. Again, no additional actions are recommended or required. With that, I'm here to recommend the approval and adoption of EMWD's 2019 to 2021 Public Health Goal Report.
Very good. Do any board members have any questions for staff at this time? Very good. I would then like to ask the Secretary of the Board how this hearing was noticed.
Notice of the public hearing was published on June 12, 2022 in the Press Enterprise, a local newspaper circulated within the district service area.
If the Secretary of the Board has received any written protest to the report, I'd ask her to provide the copies to the Board at this time.
No written protests to the report have been received.
Very good. Thank you. At this time, are there any members of the public that wish to speak on this matter? If so, please come forward to the podium, state your name and address for the record, and present your comments. I see no members of the public. I'd ask the Secretary if anyone on virtual would like to or had any request to comment on this item.
We do not have any.
Very good. With that, I will declare this public hearing closed. I will accept a motion and a second to approve and receive the filing of the Eastern Municipal Water District 2019 to 2021 Public Health Goal Report.
I'll make that motion.
I will second the motion. So it's
I'll second.
A motion by Director Armstrong, second by Director Record. May I get a roll call vote, please?
Director Pauley?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
That is three votes in the affirmative with Director Slauson and Corona absent from the vote. We will now go on to our next public hearing. This is the time and place set for the duly noticed public hearing regarding adoption of a resolution establishing schedules of water infrastructure availability assessments and sewage and waste infrastructure availability charges for the fiscal year 2022-2023. I hereby declare this public hearing open and would ask for a staff report on the item. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, President Pauley and members of the board. My name is Mark Salcido, and today I'd like to provide a brief overview of to the board of the district's infrastructure availability program. The district first initiated its water infrastructure availability assessment program in 1966 and expanded it to include the general district and 16 water improvement districts. The sewage and waste service infrastructure availability assessment, which was initiated in 1968, was also expanded to include 20 sewer improvement districts. As in the past, these assessments will be submitted to the county assessor and will be collected annually together with general taxes. Last fiscal year, approximately $5.9 million were collected through the district infrastructure availability assessments from approximately 251,000 parcels. For the current fiscal year, a total of 1,835 new customer mailings were sent out to property owners whose properties were benefited through annexations or pipeline expansions. Recognizing that the infrastructure availability program is fairly complex, staff has continued to post answers to frequently asked questions on the district's website as a resource to the public. And finally, Public and Governmental Affairs has provided a brief explanation in the water bill when property taxes are due twice a year. Infrastructure availability assessments have been carefully reviewed and found to comply with the provisions of Proposition 218 because they were in place before November 6, 1996, and are used exclusively to finance capital costs or maintenance and operation expenses for water or sewer systems. This concludes this report, and I'd be happy to answer any questions the board may have.
Do any members of the board have any questions for staff on this public hearing?
No questions.
Very good. I would like to ask the Secretary of the Board how this hearing was noticed.
Notice of the public hearing was published on June 27th and July 11th, 2022 in the Press Enterprise, a local newspaper circulated within the district service area. Additionally, a notice of hearing was posted in the office of the district.
If the Secretary of the Board has received any written protest of the proposal, I'd ask her to provide them to the board at this time.
No written protest to the proposal have been received.
Thank you. At this time, are there any members of the public that wish to speak on this matter? If so, please approach the podium. I see no members of the public wishing to speak on it. I would ask if there are any virtual requests to speak on this item.
I do not see any requests, President Pauley.
Very good. Seeing no further speakers, I hereby declare the public hearing as closed. At this time, we are ready to adopt the following resolution, a resolution establishing schedules of water infrastructure availability assessments and sewage waste infrastructure availability charges for the fiscal year 2022-2023. I will ask for a motion and a second.
I'll make that motion.
I'll make the motion to move that.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Director Record. We have a second by Director Armstrong. May I get a roll call vote, please?
Director Pauley?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
That is three in the affirmative with Directors Slauson and Director Corona absent from the vote. The resolution that we have just establishes water rates for water infrastructure availability charges and sewer and waste infrastructure availability charges for the fiscal year 2022-2023. We'll now move on to our next public hearing in the morning. This is the time and place for a duly noticed public hearing regarding the collection of delinquent and unpaid charges for water and other services via the 2022-2023 Riverside County property tax roll. I will declare this public hearing open, and I will ask for a staff report on the item.
Good morning, President Pauley and members of the board. The Municipal Water District Law of 1911, specifically California Water Code, Section 71000 through 73000, provides for delinquent and unpaid charges for water and other services to be added to and become part of the annual taxes levied upon the property for which the charges and use occurred. The placing of delinquent and unpaid charges on the secured property tax roll is an established process utilized by water service providers, including use by EMWD in previous years. At this time, it is recommended that the parcels identified on Exhibit A to the proposed resolution be submitted to the County of Riverside's auditor-controller for purposes of collection through this process. The identified parcels represent closed residential property owner accounts with a past due balance of 500 or greater for 60 days or more. I would be happy to answer any questions that the board has at this time.
Are there any questions from the board?
No question.
I do have one.
Yes, sir.
So if we have a person that owns a residential rental property and the renter has not paid their water bill for some time, mm-hmm. and that is about to be going on to the property tax roll, do we have a mechanism for notifying that property owner that that's about to happen?
At this time, that situation is not occurring, but we will be recommending it for the following year, and we will have a method of notifying the owner.
Okay.
President Paul, if I can add, we go through a collection process.
Absolutely.
In that case that you just described. But we are looking at a notification process, as Christy mentioned, for that situation that you're describing.
Yeah, my concern is we have property owners out there that are certainly not watching their tenants pay their water bill, and all of a sudden they have something on the tax rolls on their property that they have to pay. So I think given all the new technology we have, I would like to find a mechanism for property owners to register their property with us, and we have some sort of notice that goes out before we put it on the tax rolls. So I'm glad we're working on that going forward. So thank you for that answer. I'd like to ask the Secretary of the Board how this hearing was noticed.
Notice of the public hearing was published on July 7, 2022, and July 14, 2022, in the Press Enterprise, a local newspaper circulated within the district service area. Letters were also mailed to the address of record for affected property owners.
Very good. If the Secretary of the Board has received any written protest to the proposal, I'd ask her to provide copies to the Board at this time.
No written protests to the proposal have been received.
Thank you. At this time, are there any members of the public that wish to speak on this matter? If so, please come forward to the podium. I see no members of the public in the chambers here. I'd like to ask the Secretary if anyone virtually has requested to speak on this item.
No, we do not.
Very good. Seeing no speakers at this time, I will declare the public hearing closed. We are ready to adopt the following resolution, a resolution adding unpaid charges for water and other services pursuant to Water Municipal Water Code District Law of 1911, specifically the California Water Code Sections 7-1000 to 7-3000 to the 2022-2023 secured property tax roll delinquent accounts. I will accept a motion and a second to adopt the resolution.
Make that motion.
Motion by Director Armstrong. Director Record, would you like to second?
Yes, I'll second. Thank
second
you.
Second by Director Record. May I get a roll call, please?
Director Pauley?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
That passes 3-0 with Director Slauson and Director Corona absent from the vote. The resolution that we have just adopted approves the collection of delinquent and unpaid charges for water and other services via the 2022-2023 Riverside County property tax roll. Now move on to our next public hearing. This is the time and place set for a duly noticed public hearing regarding the collection of annual payments for Wine Country Special Benefit Area financing agreements on the property tax rolls for fiscal year commencing July 1st, 2022. I now declare this public hearing open and will ask for a staff report. Good morning, Thomas.
Morning, President Pauley, members of the board. In November 2013, the district created a special benefit area in the Wine Country area of Temecula and established a special benefit area surcharge in order to spread the cost of construction of sewer infrastructure to area participants. The board authorized a financing program to assist property owners with the payment of the special benefit area surcharge and certain financial participation charges associated with the connection to the Wine Country sewer system. On July 6, 2016, the board adopted Ordinance 2016-006, which established the collection of these financing payments on the property tax roll. Last year, the district levied 25 parcels for a total assessment amount of $188,881. Don't try to say that three times. As of June 9, 2021, the district has received 96% of the assessed levy. Approximately 7,000 or 4% remains delinquent. Staff will be reaching out to the delinquent wineries to discuss plans to bring these delinquencies current. The district will levy 23 parcels this year for the 2022-2023 tax year for a total assessment amount of $148,470. Staff has prepared a Wine Country Sewer Infrastructure Financing Special Assessment Report per Health and Safety Code 5473. It is attached to the board letter as Exhibit A. This report identifies each parcel to be charged and their amortized annual payment. The report was filed with the board secretary on June 15th, 2022.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for staff on this item?
I just have a quick question on why the parcels went down from 25 to 23.
One of them paid off. There were two parcels that had a five-year agreement initially, and so in the fifth year, it paid off. So it reduced the levy amount by about $40,000, sorry.
Yep.
Director Record, any questions on this item?
No questions.
Very good. I'd like to ask the board secretary how this hearing was noticed.
Notice of this public hearing was published on July 5th and July 11th, 2022, in the Press Enterprise, a local newspaper circulated within the district service area in accordance with Government Code Section 6066.
If the Secretary of the Board has received any written protested proposal, I would like to ask her to provide copies to the Board at this time.
No written protests to the proposal have been received.
Thank you. At this time, are there any members of the public that wish to speak on this matter? If so, please approach the podium. We don't seem to have any members in the chambers that wish to speak on this. I will ask the Board Secretary if there's anybody virtually that would like to speak on this.
There are no requests.
Very good. At this time, I will declare the public hearing closed. There has not been protests made by the owners or majority of a separate parcels of property described in the report. The board now has an option to adopt, revise, change, reduce, or modify any payments in the report. If no revisions are requested, I will look for a motion and a second for the following resolution. The resolution is to approve the collection of annual payments for Wine Country Sewer Special Benefit Area financing agreements on the property tax roll for fiscal year commencing July 1st, 2022.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Director Armstrong. Second by Director Record. May I get a roll call vote, please?
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
And that motion passes 3-0 with Directors Corona and Director Slauson absent from the vote. We'll now do our final public hearing of the morning. This is the time and place set for a duly noticed public hearing regarding the collection of annual sewer charges for sewer-only accounts on the property tax rolls for the fiscal year commencing July 1st, 2022. I hereby declare this public hearing open and would like to ask for a staff report.
In July 2015, the Board adopted Ordinance 2015-003, which established the collection of annual sewer charges on the property tax rolls for sewer-only accounts. These are sewer accounts not connected to the EMWD water system. Last year, the district levied 132 parcels for a total assessment amount of $68,218. The district has collected 100% of these assessed charges with no delinquencies occurring. The district will levy 134 parcels for the 2022-23 tax year for a total assessment amount of $81,343. All charges have been calculated in the same manner as non-sewer-only accounts in accordance with the district's consolidated schedule of rates, fees, and charges. Staff has prepared a sewer-only accounts special assessment report per Health and Safety Code 5473. It is attached to the board letter as Exhibit A. This report identifies each of the parcels to be levied as well as their calculated annual sewer charge and was filed with the board secretary on June 15, 2022.
Very good. Any questions for staff on this item? I see none. I would like to ask the Secretary of the Board how this hearing was noticed.
The sewer-only accounts special assessment report was filed with the Secretary on June 15, 2022. Notice of the filing of the report proposing to have annual sewer charges for the upcoming fiscal year collected on the tax roll and of the time and place of this hearing was published in the Press Enterprise, a local newspaper, on July 5th and July 11, 2022, in accordance with Government Code Section 6066.
If the Secretary of Board has received a written protest to the proposal, I'd ask her to provide those to the Board at this time.
One protest letter has been received from a property owner listed in the report, and copies have been provided to the Board.
Thank you. At this time, are there any members of the public that wish to speak on this matter here in the chambers? I see none. I would then ask the Secretary if anyone online virtually would like to speak on this matter.
We do not have any requests.
Very good. At this time, I will declare the public hearing closed. There has not been a protest made by the owners of majority of the separate parcels of property described in the report. The board now has the option to adopt, revise, change, reduce, or modify any charges in the report. If no revisions are requested, we are ready to approve the following resolution. Approving the collection of an annual sewer charges for sewer-only accounts on the property tax roll for the fiscal year commencing July 1st, 2022. I will look for a motion.
I'll move adoption.
I'll second.
Motion by Director Record, second by Director Armstrong. May I get a roll call vote, please?
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
And that passes 3-0 with Directors Corona and Director Slauson absent from the vote. The resolution that we have just adopted approves the filed sewer-only account special assessment report along with the collection of annual sewer charges for sewer-only accounts on the property tax roll for fiscal year 2022-2023. We will now move on to the next item of our agenda, which is our General Manager's Report. And good morning, Mr. Mawad.
Good morning, President Pauly, members of the board. My report is included in your packet. I wanted to highlight a few items this morning. Under new and ongoing items, as the board is aware, last year, EMWD entered into an agreement with the City of Hemet for the purchase of groundwater carryover credits in the San Jacinto Basin up to a total of 20,000 acre feet, and that consisted of 2,500 acre foot per year over an eight-year period. Last year, we made the initial purchase of 2,500 acre feet.
This June, we notified the city of our intent to purchase the second-year allotment of 2,500 acre-feet per year. Per the agreed-upon methodology identified in the agreement, we furnished the city of Hemet with the calculation for the purchase of the water. They have concurred with the calculation, and our intent is to make payment to the city on July 27th. Upon completion of that transaction, we will be notifying the Hemet San Jacinto Water Master to adjust EMWD's and the city's account accordingly. Another item I wanted to highlight, as you may have seen recently, in mid-June, the Bureau of Reclamation Commissioner Camille Tutin was testifying at a Senate hearing, and during that testimony, she provided essentially an ultimatum to the Colorado River Basin water users to seek a consensus to reduce their demands and use of Colorado River supplies by a range of 2 million up to 4 million acre feet per year for next year. Seven states have been in negotiations to identify opportunities to reduce their supplies from the Colorado River. Commissioner Tutin had identified mid-August as a date to reach that consensus. If the parties to those negotiations failed to reach consensus, it was indicated that the Federal Department of Interior may step in and essentially mandate reductions and other measures to achieve those reductions that Commissioner Tutin spelled out. So we're closely monitoring the ongoing negotiations. Obviously, Metropolitan Water District is very much involved in these efforts, and we continue to have dialogue to understand better the potential repercussions to Southern California, Metropolitan, and of course, EMWD. Next item I wanted to update the board on is, as you're aware, last year we implemented a work-from-home program for eligible employees whereby they would report to the office a minimum of 3 days a week with potentially up to 2 days telecommuting from home. The program has worked very effectively over the last year, but when we implemented that program, the call center in customer service was not able to participate because we had a number of ongoing initiatives, including, as you're aware, the customer billing information system that was being developed and implemented, and we needed to have all the staff come into the office and not be able to participate in the program. When we were developing the program, we also outsourced a certain amount of call volume to a firm in Reno, and that outsourcing has been very successful. The technology today and the metrics to be able to monitor the effectiveness of call center employees is very detailed in nature, and we're able to measure those efficiencies and the productivity of the call center staff. In working closely with the team, we have developed a plan whereby we will be rolling out in the next few weeks. The majority of the call center staff will be eligible to work primarily from home, and the balance of the customer service department, meaning the billing staff, would then be eligible to enroll in the telecommuting program that we currently have. So we shared that information with the union. The union provided great feedback. And in fact, yesterday, myself and the other team members had a meeting with the department, shared the details. It was well received. We will be bringing forward a more detailed informational item to the administration committee. I'm sorry, to the administrative committee, where we will share those details. But one of the things I wanted to share with this board is our plan long term is to continue using the outsourcing contract that we have with the Reno operation, and possibly look even for other operations, and that will allow us to not fill current vacancies in the department. As our customers begin to use the technology on a more regular basis, potentially there may be less call volume over the next few years. And ultimately, we are looking at the feasibility of bringing the balance of the staff from the off-site building back to this headquarters facilities, and at that point, we would have a discussion with the board on the disposition of that building. So there's a lot of moving parts to this program, but I want to let you know that it was shared with the staff. It was very well received. And we'll have additional conversation at the next administrative committee. Next item I wanted you to be aware of is we're very much engaged in advocacy on the proposed Senate Bill 1156, 57, authored by Senator Hertzberg. There's been a lot of conversations and back and forth with the senator's office, not only with us, but frankly with a number of other agencies and coalitions in the water industry. The good news is that in mid-June, Senator Hertzberg was receptive to certain amendments to the Senate bill. And as you're aware, the Senate bill essentially calls for a reduction of indoor water use from the current target of 55 gallons per capita per day down to 47 GCPD beginning in 2025 and ultimately to 42 GCPD in 2030. So the amendments that Senator Hertzberg has agreed to include advancing studies that will look at the impact of reduced indoor water use on a wastewater system. And as we've expressed in the past, we have concerns relative to potential odor control, cost, and other impacts on the wastewater system, as well as water affordability in general. So with the amendments, those studies will be conducted by the Department of Water Resources, and that feedback will be provided in terms of providing potentially a more flexible timeline for the implementation of the indoor water use efficiencies. The other key element to this is that as an agency that recycles all of our water, we look at reducing indoor as really a zero-sum proposal, because if we have less recycled water, we truly have to make up that difference. So we have been working closely with the Water Reuse Association, as well as other state senators, including Senator Laird and Senator Roth, to advocate that there should be an exemption for those agencies like us who recycle a significant portion of our recycled water, recognizing that it's really, as I mentioned, a no-benefit proposition. So based on all these activities, currently we have taken a neutral position on this bill while aggressively pursuing these additional amendments to provide the exemptions to recycled water agencies. We'll keep you posted on those negotiations. Next item I wanted to brief you on is under items of interest to the board. As you are aware, on July 29th, the Special District Association of Riverside County will be holding its meeting here at EMWD's boardroom. We, in coordination with Dean Wetter, we will be hosting that event. And the Metropolitan General Manager, Adele Hashkalil, will be the keynote speaker. So it will be a timely opportunity for Adele to have a conversation with the special districts to discuss the water supply and drought conditions. And if you are interested, please let us know if you'd like to attend that event. Also, another event that's upcoming is President Pauley and I have been invited to participate by Riverside Mayor Locke Dawson to meet and participate in a roundtable with Secretary Wade Crowfoot, discuss the current drought conditions and water conservation efforts, and an opportunity to educate the public about water use efficiencies. With that, I'll be happy to answer any questions that the board may have.
Any questions for the general manager?
Yeah, I have a question, a couple. One on the Colorado River. So I think the normal average hydrology for that is somewhere around 7.5-8 million acre feet a year in normal conditions. And then so this cut would be 25 to 50% of that. And so what my question is, how much would it affect Metropolitan? What is Metropolitan's, do you know what Metropolitan's rights are annually?
So currently, it's a great question, Dr. Armstrong. If I'm not mistaken, Metropolitan has been utilizing or receiving about 1.3 million acre feet per year off of the Colorado River supplies, plus or minus a certain amount. However, having said that, Metropolitan also has storage in Lake Mead. And, you know, one of the questions that we have is what is going to be the disposition of that storage? Is that storage going to be part of the negotiations? We're not certain. But to your point, I think it's important to understand how are the seven states, including Metropolitan, going to be able to reach that target established by Commissioner Tutin?
And then on the customer service call center, I just want to compliment you and the entire staff on that. It's great to take advantage of technology, and I agree totally that that's a function where technology and information really lends itself to telecommuting and being and even outsourcing and being able to see, you know, what is happening, because all that information is tracked through technology. And I agree, too, that in the future, more and more customers, you know, will be looking to do their interactions, you know, electronically. So just compliment you. I'm looking forward on those.
Thank you, Dr. Armstrong. And I do want to give a shout-out to the team, Charles Kamaru, Dan Howell, Laura Namora, Christy, and everyone else. I think they've all played an important role over the last many months in developing the details of the plan, which I think is a win-win for everyone involved. So appreciate the comments, Dr. Armstrong.
Director Record, any questions for the general manager?
Actually, a comment more than a question. I think it would be appropriate to have Bill Hazenkamp from Metropolitan come and give the board a briefing on Colorado River matters. You know, that Metropolitan is pretty far down the list on the priorities and relatively small allocation compared to Imperial Irrigation District. So it's going to be a very interesting discussion going forward about where these cuts come from and how we manage that. So, and there are also issues with Met being able to access their storage supplies that were created through the intentionally created surplus. So I would suggest that next board meeting we have a briefing.
We appreciate the feedback, Director Record, and we will reach out to Bill Hazenkamp and arrange a time where he can come in and speak to this board and update us on the ongoing negotiations. It's a good suggestion. Appreciate that.
And I'll just piggyback on that. I think more and more in the news cycle, the Colorado River and the issues of Lake Mead, et cetera, really getting to the what I call the public news cycle. So I think the more information we can get on that for our customers is good. So that's a great suggestion by Director Record. With that, I have no other questions. Thank you so much. Laura, do you have anything for us this morning?
Yes, I would just like to take a moment to clarify the answer to your question to you and the board regarding unpaid charges on the property tax roll. So currently we are not putting on the property tax roll non-owner occupied accounts. That was a big lift to take on, and with the shutoff moratorium being lifted and all the calls coming in, we decided to table that. We are going to look into it next year, and to your directly to your question and to your comment, President Pauly, we will be looking at how best to communicate with the owners before they are notified that their tenants have unpaid balances. So we will take care of that. I just wanted to clarify that because I think there was a little miscommunication on the answer.
Okay. I appreciate that. Nick, anything for us this morning?
Yes, thank you. Excuse me. Thank you, President Pauly. I do have one item I'd like to share with you. Last week, General Manager Joe Muad and I had an opportunity to meet with the Tribal Executive Officer for the Saboba Band of Luseno Indians, Mr. Stephen Estrada, and his consultant, Ali Sohabi, consultant for tribal land development and construction. And they wanted to take the opportunity to share with Joe and I their plans for expansion of the tribal lands, including future expansion of their Saboba Casino Resort, as well as a potential septic to sewer conversion for their community, their homes on tribal land, current homes as well as future homes. And they shared with us that they're in the process of developing a sewer master plan for ultimate build-out. They're looking at phasing of improvements and potentially sewering options to expand their connections to Eastern for sewering. So it was a really very, very productive discussion. We learned a lot. We also learned that the tribe is very, very motivated to move forward with their master planning effort because they see an opportunity for external funding, ARPA funding, and other funding specifically set aside for tribal lands. So they're motivated to get that complete. And so we're looking forward to supporting the tribe's efforts in receiving their master plan, which we anticipate sometime next month. We'll have an opportunity to receive that, review that, and then we envision a collaborative effort that we'll work with the tribe to develop the necessary studies and assessments and look at what the optimal future sewering requirements are for the tribe. So wanted to share that with you, and as we go through that and identify what their needs are and how we can support them, we envision possibly coming back to the board with a participation agreement as far as how we're going to all cooperate in implementing whatever improvements that they decide. So that was the only update I had.
Very good. I would just say, I know we have a standing committee with the tribe. It might be good as these things move forward to schedule a meeting with them just so we're all on the same page. But I appreciate that, Nick. I think they are certainly one of the local governments here that we deal with, and I want to make sure that we're always in open communication with them. So any other questions for Nick on this issue? Very good. Ms. Alexander, anything this morning?
Good morning. Nothing from me this morning.
Mr. Melendez.
Good morning. Just wanted to give you another update on recycled water. Since the last meeting, we finished totaling demands for June, and which wrapped up the first quarter of our allocation year. We're at about 10,200 acre feet of sales, which is right about on par with last year, just a couple hundred acre feet less. Storage is at 32%. And demands last week were at about 46 million gallons, so still a pretty strong demand for recycled water. However, overall, total usage is right at 25% of allocations for the year, so we're right on track with demands meeting expected supply for the year. And in case you're interested, we expect next week or the week after to do at least a small amount of augmentation to the system while we do some brackish line flushing activities to provide a little more water in case it's needed. So that's it.
All right. Any questions? Very good. We'll now go on to item 4 on our agenda, which is the consent calendar. Do any members of the board wish to have an item pulled for further discussion or a separate vote? Hearing none, I will look for a motion and a second on the consent calendar.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Director Armstrong. I'll second it. Can I get a roll call vote, please?
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record? Director Record?
Aye.
That passes 3-0 with Director Slauson and Director Corona absent from the vote. Do we need to take a minute? Are we having an issue with Director Record's connection?
I believe it might be on his line.
Okay. Let's say if we had to, we could reconnect, but we will move on. We'll go to our action calendar.
Yeah, nothing has changed here.
Okay. I just want to make sure we could hear you and you could participate. We'll go to the action calendar. Item 5A is to approve an authorized agreement between the Eastern Miss Water District and the County of Riverside for American Rescue Plan Act ARPA funding allocations. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, President Pauly, members of the board. Vincent Lopez presenting this morning.
Please proceed.
Okay. So before we get into some of the projects in that are included in the funding agreement between the EMWD and the county, I'm going to do a quick background on the American Rescue Plan Act funding. So the American Rescue Plan Act was signed into law on March 11th of 2021. It is a $350 billion in federal fiscal recovery aid for state, territorial, local, and tribal governments. $65.1 billion of this was allocated directly to counties. Riverside County's share of the ARPA funding was estimated at $479 million. Their first installment of $239 million was received in May of last year. So now rolling into some of the projects, infrastructure funding coordination. So as you know, there are three supervisorial county districts located within our service territory. Each county supervisor received approximately $13 million in discretionary ARPA funding. during the quarterly coordination meetings with the county, the district recommended some infrastructure projects for some of this ARPA funding. So the county began evaluating and prioritizing some of these projects in order beginning in district number one. So, and earlier this year, the district EMWD received confirmation that the projects in districts one and three would be receiving ARPA funding. So beginning with County Supervisor District 1, so a total of $5 million has been allocated to the three projects you see before you there. So the first project in District 1 is the Mead Valley-Cahalco Sewer Project, and that is a project that includes 4,100 feet of new sewer pipe located between Brown and Carroll Street. It also includes a new lift station at the corner of Brown and Cahalco. Total estimated cost of the project is $5.8 million with a county contribution of $2.9 million. Second project in District 1 is the Mead Valley Cahalco Water System Improvements, and this includes 1,600 feet of new sewer pipeline, and it also addresses some of the remote meters that are located within the area. So some of these meters are located several feet away from their actual properties, so that'll fix some of those issues there. Total project cost is estimated at $983,000 with a county contribution of $590,000. Then the third project in District 1 is the Good Hope Olive Area Water System Improvements. It includes 7,800 feet of new sewer pipeline, and just like the previous project, it also fixes some of the remote meters in that area. Total project cost is estimated at $2.6 million with a county contribution of $1.5 million. And then rolling into County District 3, a total of almost $10.6 million was contributed to the three projects you see before you there. So beginning with the first project in District 3, is the Mission Canyon Booster Pump Station replacement. So this is a new booster pump that'll help water pressure in Hemet. It is 600 gallons per minute capacity with 3,200 feet of 12-inch pipe. Total project cost is estimated at $3.6 million with a county contribution of $1.4 million. Second project in District 3 is the Southern Wine Country Sewer Project, and this project extends down De Portola Road, down Anza Road, and then west down Temecula Parkway. This project is approximately 23,000 feet of gravity sewer pipeline, which also includes laterals to the property lines. Total estimated cost is 10.3 with a county contribution of 4.1. And finally, the third project in District 3 is the Northern Wine Country Phase 2 project, which extends from Benton Road down to Rancho California Road, then goes south perpendicularly down Glen Oaks Road. It is approximately around 14,000 feet of new sewer pipeline, which also includes laterals to the property lines. Estimated cost is $8.6 million. With a county contribution of $5 million. There is also a potential project for District number 5. So the district submitted the Hewitt and Evans Treatment Facility, which is a project that supports groundwater banking in the San Jacinto Valley. The estimated cost for this project is $15 million, with a possible contribution of ARPA funding of $3 million. So if and when we get word back from the county, we will amend this agreement before you to include not only the Hewitt and Evans Treatment Facility, but also the $3 million in ARPA funding. And then just some funding agreement key terms to note. So all these projects included in the agreement need to be completed before December 2026. The agreement before you only includes the six projects I went over in districts 1 and 3. And again, if we do get some feedback from the county regarding the Hewitt and Evans project in district 5, this agreement will be amended to include this project as well. The agreement also defines some of the acknowledgments and the requirements for some of the project signage. And so the total amount of ARPA funding is $15.6 million that it's included in the agreement before you, with quarterly reimbursement payments to the district. So with that, staff's recommendation is to approve and authorize the execution by the general manager or his designee an agreement between the Riverside, with the County of Riverside, for American Rescue Plan Act funding in the amount of $15,621,200 for the defined capital improvement projects, subject to non-sustained changes. This concludes my presentation. I'm here to answer any questions.
Do you have any questions?
Yeah, I would first just say great job in coordinating with the county and working with them and identifying projects. And I think some of these projects probably would have been much more difficult to address and tackle if we weren't partnering with the county and receiving some of these funds. So just a great job. And then the question I have is on the Wine Country Sewer, I think it's the northern one that's going up Rancho California Road to East Benton and Glen Oaks. And does when that line is installed, do property owners, are they required to connect to the sewer, or is it still voluntary for them to connect to sewer afterwards?
Great question, Dr. Armstrong. They are not required to immediately connect. Once they go through redevelopment or development of the site, then the county entitlement process will direct them to come to us for sewer conditioning, and that is typically how they will then be connected to our system and participate.
Thanks.
Director Record, any questions on this item?
No questions. This is very promising. I'd move the item.
All right, that's a motion by Director Record. Before we go to a second, I had one comment, and that was, and this has nothing to do with Eastern's ability to make things happen or staff, but I do know there is a lot of ARPA money and a lot of bandwidth out there right now on engineering and construction projects going on, so I just want to keep a close eye on the fact that we meet the deadlines on this. I think we are just really in a good place here, and I really I want to thank all the supervisors, but in particular Supervisor Washington. I think this is really going to be impactful for the Wine Country area, but I do know in monitoring some of this, there are becoming challenges in the engineering bandwidth and others as we get contractors on board. So, again, nothing on Eastern's front. We're very good at making things happen. But
it's a great observation, President Pauly, and you're absolutely right. In the discussions we had with the county staff, obviously we're all interested to get the projects advanced and implemented as quickly as possible. So one thing I've directed our team to do when it comes to the engineering phase is we're going to go to our on-call list of competitively selected engineers, and we're going to negotiate with them directly versus going through a RFP, simply because that will reduce the schedule by about 3 months for us. So you'll be seeing those requests for the board approvals for engineering coming here soon, as early as next month. And again, the intent here is to expedite things as much as possible. And to your point, everyone's very busy implementing ARPA projects.
Don't want to get to the point where we have to wait 7 months to get a backhoe for something because they're all in use. So very good. And like I said, I have full faith in the management team here to make that happen. So we do have a motion by Director Record.
Second.
Second by Director Armstrong. May I get a roll call vote on this item, please?
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Director Record, would you like to vote aye on that? Since Director Record made the motion, we'll consider that an aye vote, and if he comes back on, we'll reconfirm that.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. I vote for Director Record. That passes 3-0 with Director Corona and Director Slauson absent from the vote. We will now go on to item 5B, which is to approve and authorize an agreement with Environmental Science Associates, $244,000, for a presentation of the Pettit Water Storage Expansion and Transmission Pipeline Environmental Impact Report and the appropriation of $244,000.
Good morning, President Pauly, directors. The purpose of the Pettit Tanks project is to provide near-term and long-term emergency storage in pressure zone 1764, which is located in the city of Moreno Valley. Location of the tanks, there's two tanks that are proposed with this project, would be the existing Pettit tank site. The pipeline would extend from Alessandro Boulevard in the south within Moreno Beach Drive north to the existing Pettit tank site. Project would be developed in two phases. The first phase would be constructed and operational by 2027. It would be constructed with a 4.5 million gallon water storage tank, 4,000 linear feet of transmission main, and a 0.2 million gallon detention basin that would be constructed also at the existing Pettit tank site. Phase two would occur in the future when the community is at build-out, and it would begin with the removal of the existing 2 million gallon storage tank that currently is on the site and replaced with a second 4.5 million gallon water storage tank. For the request for proposal, the RFP was released on March 24th of this year using the district's e-procurement system, Bonfire Interactive. 10 firms submitted proposals on April 25th of this year, and the proposals were evaluated by a cross-functional team of district staff from engineering, water resources, and environmental regulatory compliance. For firm selection, we used the 7 criteria that you see at the top of the slide here to evaluate the firms. And at the bottom of the slide is a partial list of the firms that finished in the top scoring categories, with ESA scoring the highest with a score of 84, Helix in second place, and then Somas and MIG. ESA also came in with the lowest base cost of $198,900. Following identification of ESA, we negotiated some additional tasks with the firm to address possible regulatory permits that would be required after CEQA is completed. There is an existing drainage channel that's on the project site north of the 2 million gallon storage tank that would be impacted with the future development. So to make sure that we have that covered, we included a 404 permit from the Corps of Engineers, 401 permit from Regional Board, and a 1602 permit from CDFW. So taking the permits together with the base cost, the final ESA scope and cost estimate is $244,035. Staff's recommendation is to approve and authorize an agreement with Environmental Science Associates in the amount of $244,035 for the preparation of the Pettit Water Storage Expansion and Transmission Pipeline, EIR. And that concludes the staff presentation. Be happy to answer any questions you have. With us in the audience from ESA is also Sarah Spano, who, if the board selects ESA, would be taking the lead on this environmental impact report. She comes to the district with quite a resume of district projects, including the ERRP program EIR that she worked on, the GETS tank EIR that she was project manager for, and she's also currently working on the Phase 2 brackish wells effort with the Corps of Engineers. So with that, either Sarah or I would be willing to answer any questions.
Very good. Welcome. Thank you for being here today. Always appreciate when our vendors come to our meetings when we're have the agenda item up. Any questions from the board? Have none. Great presentation. I will go ahead and make the motion to pass that. Would you like a second?
Second.
Second by Director Armstrong. May I get a roll call vote, please?
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
That passes 3-0 with Director Corona and Director Slauson absent from the meeting. My understanding, Mr. General Manager, is we'd like to defer item C on the action calendar.
Yes, President Pauly, I respectfully request the board to defer item C. I'd like to have staff take additional time for us to evaluate our resource needs and the alternative mechanisms available to us to secure resource support. So with that in mind, our request is to defer item C on the agenda.
Any member of the board would like to comment or have questions on that? With that, we will defer item C. We will now go to item 6, which is our informational items. We are going to have, good morning, per capita water use briefing, it says on my agenda.
Good morning, President Pauly. That is correct.
All right.
Water use efficiency is often measured in terms of gallons per capita per day, or GPCD. That was initiated by the state for regulatory compliance, but it's also a metric that we commonly use to measure our own performance. With EMWD being only about 40% built out, it's anticipated that our GPCD will continue to decrease over time as new development is required to be more efficient both indoors and outdoors. So this presentation today provides you with some information on some projections on how those trends could impact our GPCD moving forward. And Gordon Ng is going to present remote today. Gordon? Gordon, are you there? Then I will go ahead and proceed with the presentation.
All right. Gordon is missing his big starring moment.
He should be able to speak now.
Good morning. Can everybody hear me?
Good morning, Gordon. Yes, the floor is yours, sir. All right.
All right. Good morning, President Pauly, members of the board. So, yeah, jumping right into this presentation, as Linnea mentioned, gallons per capita per day, this is a common water use efficiency metric, and it's been used by the state for several conservation regulations that I'm sure will be familiar to everybody, including the SBX 7-7 regulation, which is that 20 by 2020 rule that mandated a reduction by 2020 of 20% from a the average GPCD is calculated over a baseline period of 1999 through 2008. During the prior drought regulation, there were executive orders that tiered water suppliers based on their 2013 per capita usage. But notable there is that we were given a volumetric target once we were tiered, which kind of offsets one of the big benefits of GPCD, which when you normalize by population, as Linnea mentioned, suppliers like EMWD that are in growing areas, we don't get hit as hard when we're allowed to adjust for growth. And then the other big regulation that often references GPCD is SB 606 and AB 1668. So that's the commonly known as the Making Conservation a California Way of Life legislation. And there's multiple requirements that are part of this legislation, but relevant to our discussion of GPCD today is it includes a water supplier-specific water use objective that's calculated using efficiency-based standards for both indoor and outdoor use, and this in addition to components for water loss and dedicated landscape meters and the like. And so it all boils down to a GPCD number. So if we go to the next slide, please. So just as an example, this slide shows how our annual GPCD was calculated in 2021, last year. So for the regulations like the Making Conservation a California Way of Life and the 20 by 2020 legislation, annual GPCD is how We do also report monthly GPCD to the State Board, as I'm sure you're familiar with some of the other presentations that we've done in the past, but we're going to focus on annual GPCD today. And so on the bar chart on the left side of this slide, you can see the supply component of this calculation, which excludes our wholesale and our non-quotable supplies. And we take that supply and we convert volumetrically to gallons and normalize by the number of days in the year and our retail population, which is shown in the steps in the middle of the slide. And the population component that we use excludes our wholesale population, excuse me, which you can see in the map on the right side of the slide. So it excludes the water suppliers that we provide wholesale service to. So it's the gray areas that are within our service area boundary. That's the population that gets normalized over. So if we go to the next slide, this shows our historic per capita water usage over time. And our per capita use has seen two major shifts since the beginning of the 20 by 2020 baseline period, so beginning in 1999. The first major shift was when we transitioned to budget-based rates in the 2009 timeframe. We see our per capita water use drop down to the 150s and the 140s gallons per capita per day. And then going into the last drought emergency in the 2015 timeframe, we see our GPCD dropped further and into the 120 to 125 range. And it's remained fairly consistent from 2015 through present day. And part of that is we chose not to exit our water shortage contingency plan completely after the prior drought. We did restore customer water budgets once the drought emergency was over, but we stayed in kind of a voluntary stage to just message the need for continued conservation and the importance of that. And so there's potentially the impact of that messaging, as which may explain why customer use did not fully rebound. We go to the next slide. So this slide shows the last 2 years of per capita water use, just kind of zooming in a little bit. We're basically breaking this down by sector. And so what I want to highlight here is that residential water use is the primary demand in our service area. It's about 70% annually. It does peak higher in the summer. But just some an important thing to note, though, with this is that some HOAs are on dedicated irrigation meters, and those accounts are grouped with landscape. And so potentially, depending on how you want to slice it, the residential use could potentially be a little bit higher if you want to include that water use. Next slide, please. So in our 2020 urban water management plan, we projected our future demands based on water use behavior that we were observing in our service area going into the last drought. Again, the reason why we went with this as a baseline is because we did not exit our water shortage contingency plan after 2015. And so basically the entire period between urban water management plans, we had that constraint on our demand. And so we estimate that based on the messaging and the conservation outreach that we did during the last drought, as well as the implementation of the water shortage contingency plan, that our demands were about 15% lower than it could have been. And so you see that represented in the hatched portion of the per capita water use bar for 2020 is that basically puts the water use up to where we estimate it could have been if we weren't messaging conservation. So moving forward, that's why the per capita use jumps up a bit for all the future years. And we, the key item here is we expect residential water use to continue to be the predominant water usage in our service area moving forward. And these projections are kind of going to be our comparison point for some of the scenarios that we're going to present in our future slides. And just as a reminder, this does not include recycled water. So if we go to the next slide, thank you. So generally speaking, again, Linnea mentioned this earlier, our new development uses water more efficiently than our older housing stock. And there's a couple of factors that influence this. We're seeing that new development is often coming in with higher densities and on, you know, accordingly with smaller lots, so there's just less irrigated area or outdoor water use. Another factor is that since June 1st of 2015, customer water budgets are assigned a lower ET factor. So it's 0.5 for accounts that are connected after that date. Prior to that, ET factors that we have used are 0.8 and 0.7. And so what this graph does is it compares the per capita water use projections from the 2020 Urban Water Management Plan, which is the gray bar, to a couple different scenarios. So the first scenario, which is shown in the light blue bar, this is where our existing connections rebound to demands that they saw prior to the last drought, and that only new connections use water at a more efficient level. And so you can see it goes back pretty close to what we had projected in the Urban Water Management Plan, but the gap kind of grows over time as we add a greater proportion of our demands come from the more efficient new connections. And the darker blue bar assumes that we don't get very much of a rebound effect and that the existing connections stay right around where we are today, which is the dashed green line. And obviously the new connections come in at a more efficient level. And there's the same growth rate across all three of these scenarios. And so, you know, we keep talking about about the new connections being more efficient. And so where that comes from is we took a sample of our residential water users within census blocks that showed, you know, pretty consistent usage over time and are dominated by connections that were all installed around the same period. And when we look at that usage, we found that the newer accounts, so, you know, if we just look at blocks that had their homes installed after the 0.5 ET factor went in, we saw that their usage was about 20% lower than the, I guess we'll call it the legacy accounts, with the caveat, again, that the water shortage contingency plan was always in place once, you know, for the entire lifespan, essentially, of those accounts. And I have some more details on that on the next slide. So, before I dive too far into the actual usage, the bar chart on the left shows the distribution of residential EDUs since the 2015 time period. And so the big takeaway there is about 10% of our current active residential EDUs have been added since 2015. So that's the green portion of the bar. So you can see it's a greater proportion, you know, obviously, as we continue to grow. And so this is why it has that effect of bringing our overall per capita water use down is you know, the more efficient accounts are becoming a bigger and bigger percentage of our total housing stock. And so this graph on the right, what this shows is, again, the summary of the census blocks that we looked at. And the census blocks that were developed, you know, 2016 and onward, they have that lower per capita water use. It's shown by that green line on that bar compared to the older census blocks. So when we're looking at this in aggregate, there's obviously a lot of variation from block to block, you know, with different housing characteristics. But when we look at it in aggregate, we do see that the newer connections are significantly more efficient. And so, again, the assumption is that, you know, the newer development will continue to form a greater share of the mix each year, a bigger slice of the pie, and we'll see continued improvements in water use efficiency overall. Next slide, please. And so this final slide just shows the potential range of outcomes that we could see with some of the regulations that the state is considering with respect to the SB 606 and AB 1668 water use objective. This hasn't been finalized yet, and so there's just kind of a range of outcomes on this graph that shows, you know, where we might land. And basically what this graph is showing is that as long as our existing demands don't rebound significantly, we're on track to either meet the water use objective as it currently is being proposed or come close to it, depending on where they end up. But as Joe mentioned in his update earlier, this is something that, you know, we'll be keeping track of and definitely working with the state on to, you know, hopefully try to get an equitable standard for us to, for our customers to meet and to reflect the investments we've made in recycled water. So that concludes my portion of the presentation, and I believe Linnea or I would be happy to answer any questions.
Very good. Thank you so much. Great presentation. Any questions, Director Armstrong?
I don't have any questions.
Any questions, Director Record?
No questions. I just want to thank staff for the report. Very thorough, and I think it's very important for us to have that data readily available in today's world, because we're certainly getting a lot of questions about what the district's doing in this unprecedented drought. So thank you.
Absolutely agree. The only thing I'd like to see next time we do this is maybe a comparison to some other water districts, perhaps in L.A. County or Northern California, where we are on a per capita basis, because I think it would show that we are really doing our job out here compared to some other agencies around the state. Thank you very much for that. We will now go to a receive and our receive and file items. I'll make a motion to receive and file the various reports.
Second.
Second by Director Armstrong. May I get a roll call vote, please?
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
That passes 3-2-0 with Director Slauson and Director Corona absent from the vote. That takes us to our calendar review. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, President Pauly and members of the board. I have three events for your consideration this time around. We have the Temecula Valley Chamber of Commerce Southwest Regional Economic Forecast, which is scheduled on Thursday, August 18th at 7 o'clock in the morning. Next is the City of Moreno Valley's State of the City Address. That is also scheduled on Thursday, August 18th at 11 o'clock in the morning. And the third event is the Riverside County Water Task Force Virtual Discussion on Friday, August 26th at 7:30. The topic is the California drought. So at the top of page two, or on page two, is the board members' master calendar. Please review this information and let me know if you have any changes. So on the top of page three is the conference events with participants. We have this Friday is the Southern California Water Coalition quarterly luncheon that's going to be in Long Beach. Next Friday, as mentioned by Joe Mawad earlier, is the the Special District Association of Riverside Counties meet and greet the general manager of Metropolitan Water District. That is going to be from noon to 1:30. On Friday, August 12th, we have the BIA Southern California Water Conference. That one is from 8 to 1. And on Wednesday, August 24th through Friday, August 26th, there is the annual Water Institute, Urban Water Institutes Conference. That is located down in San Diego at Mission Bay. August 31st at 5:30 is the Wildomar and Murrieta Chamber of Commerce State of City Address. And then on Saturday, September 10th, is the Science Under the Stars at the Western Science Center in Hemet. That starts at 5:30. So if you're interested in any of this, their information flyers are on the back, but please contact me so I can register you for any of these events. So continuing on page three is the board meeting and board committee meetings for the next 3 months. So far, they're all still currently scheduled. And then on page four is the joint interagency meetings for the next 3 months, which they are also as well on schedule. So does anybody have any questions regarding the review?
No. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
We will go on to our director's reports, and Director Corona is absent. I had a great outreach meeting with April Cody, where she was briefing me on some of the new educational opportunities coming before the district. I'm very excited about revamping our education programs. I believe the two things that we do outside our basic services here that we do very well and I'm very proud of, the education component and then our youth programs of getting people into the water industry and giving some of our younger people chances to get into this industry here at the district. But the education program and teaching kids early on about conserving water as they live in Southern California is important. So, April, it sounds like some very exciting things are coming our way that I can't wait to share with the board at some point. WRCOG meeting, a fantastic meeting because we had two great speakers, Joe Mawad and Mr. Miller from Western, and they gave a great report on the drought things going on. It is very important that our local cities are in tune with what we're doing. I mean, we all act in concert with each other. I actually got a lot of good feedback from both the presentations from other city council people, and I think at some point, maybe an abbreviated version of that, going to some city councils and getting on the roadshow as this drought continues, I think it's great to educate some of our local city leaders. And then I did attend the Aqua DC conference. It was a good conference, many speakers from the Biden administration. Julian Walsh accompanied me. We had a very nice dinner with Congressman Calvert and some of our federal representatives back there. My only comment, not getting too political, was one of the speakers very proud of the fact, as we are facing a lot of water shortages challenges, that we have spent federal taxpayer money on chillers in the Klamath area to make sure the salmon were at the right temperature, and I kind of question if that should be the priorities that we're doing as we're facing a lot of challenges in the water supply area, but so be it. Anyway, it was a good conference. I really appreciated Jolene, who is really rising up in the ranks of the Aqua Federal Affairs. And so anyway, great opportunity. Director Record, your report, please.
Yes, President Pauly. So finance and insurance meeting with CFO Catano Cassin to go over the agenda in June. We always do that ahead of those meetings. And it's always good. A joint Inland and Orange County caucus, same thing, go over the Met agenda. Standing committee and board meetings, you have an MWD update. July was unprecedented because we only had one day of meeting, so we started early and went very late. The most important item of significance that the board addressed was that the Shaw Law Group originally did a climate assessment of MWD's employment situation, followed by four investigations of some complaints. There has been a request for those four investigations to be released to the public, and the board, after at least an hour and a half debate, felt that it was the best way to not go forward, or the best way to go forward was to not release those investigations with an explanation that will be posted on the Met website if it hasn't been already. So we won't have any more meetings until like August 20th. So it's a rather long time to be not meeting during the situation that we're in right now. And also the other two standing committee meetings and a joint Inland Orange Caucus review of Met agendas. MWD meetings, I didn't attend the Rancho meeting on June 7th. Update with general manager, always a good discussion and informative. The Paris 2 Desalt ribbon cutting ceremony I thought was outstanding, and I think it was a great significance and really an honor for Eastern that Joaquin Escobal made it a point to be there And he's very supportive of our district, and I appreciate that relationship very much. It's a very good event. LRP funding reconciliation is just an issue that Eastern's having with Matt that we're working through. And then another monthly update with the general manager, which is, as I said, helpful and informative.
Very good. Thank you, Director Recker. And I just want to say I know there is a lot going on at Met right now, and I really do appreciate you being in this gauge for this district as you are, and really appreciate your leadership there, because I think we need some good, solid leadership there. So,
I just wanted – I did have a meeting that didn't get noted on here, so I just wanted to note that I did attend the Cal-DSAL executive committee meeting this week, and there's nothing really to report, just all administrative things there, but I just want to note I did attend.
I appreciate that very much. We will go to director's comments and future agenda items. Do you have any?
I don't.
Very good. Director Record, any final comments or future agenda items?
No future agenda items, but I do have a comment. There was an article in the LA Times a few days ago about all the possibilities for recycling water in California, and it's astounding that the percentage is so low of water that's being recycled, and it's just another tribute to our district that we recycle all of it. And at some point, we may want to write a letter or something just to, you know, say that there is an agency there who's making best use of all local resources and not relying as much as we used to on imported water. And so I think it would be good for our customers to be aware of that. And so just a thought, just compliments to the district on our history. We didn't just start that overnight, but we've really done a great job over the years of really maximizing local resources, especially recycled water.
Could not agree more. I had one potential future item. The other day, Supervisor Washington approached me, asked me if Eastern would like to participate in his upcoming community meeting on, I believe it's September 15th, but don't hold me to that date. And I indicated for the district, I think that all he has done for this district, that we would be happy to participate in that. So I'll leave that to April or Joe to follow up on, but certainly happy to do that for Supervisor Washington. With that, we have no need for closed session. Is that correct?
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Thank you much, Mr. Legal Counsel. With that, we will stand adjourned until 9 a.m. on Wednesday, August 3rd.